Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
So, why don't we give God one more hand for college football? College football is back, people. Some of you are like, enthusiasm waned a little bit when I told you why we were clapping, but thank you for doing that, because I'm a big fan of college football, and I'm glad it's back, even though UCLA lost yesterday. So did Washington. So there's some depressed people, but hey, it's early. It is back. But I love watching football, college football, professional football. I love it. It's my favorite thing to watch. What I hate watching is games that I should be in. What I hate watching is games I believe I should be playing in, but yet I'm on the sideline or I'm watching from afar. I hate watching those kind of games. I like playing in the game. I like being the guy in the game. And I can remember at UCLA, we made it, my senior year, we made it to the College World Series. I played baseball there. We made it to the College World Series. And during a period of time in the season, we were ranked number one in the country. And so I felt that we were number one in the country. I thought we were the best team in the country for the whole year. And so when we went into the College World Series, I thought we should have won it. I thought we were the best team. We entered into the College World Series after beating Oklahoma State back-to-back games, 14-1 and 22-2. And so we were playing well. We were on fire, but something happened when we got to the World Series and we just kind of choked. And so we lost our first two games. We call it two and Q or two and barbecue. Play two games and go barbecue because you just lost. So that was us, we're actually on record up until that point of playing the longest College World Series game ever against Miami. It was an extra inning game that went on forever, and that's not anything cool. It just means that people probably got bored watching the game, but at least we were on the record for something, you know. So we lose to Miami, and then we lose our next game, and then I'm attempting to watch the rest of the World Series, but I felt like I should be in the game. But I had no choice because we had already lost. And to make it worse, my last at-bat of my college career, I fouled out to the first baseman. Yes, feel bad for me. And so that's been 20 years or so. And I am still struggling with this. I'm still struggling. I still can't watch the College World Series. No lie. I was talking to Scott Sorensen last service. I didn't even remember who won that year, and he reminded me that LSU won. And because that's where he went. But anyways, so I'm still struggling with that. I need deliverance and prayer and all of that. So if you think about it while you're praying, include me in your prayers. I'm not sure what I need to be delivered from. It's just something that's had a grip on my life for 20 years now. Okay, so my point is, I'm watching these games, wishing I was playing in those games, but I had no choice because we had already lost. Today, I'm faced with a different game on a different team with a different mission. And I believe we're all faced with this game. We all have a choice. This time, we do have a choice to play or not to play, to engage or to disengage, to make history or to read about it. And I don't know about you, but I want to get in this game. I want to start doing what God is doing. I want to play. And in this game, there's only one winner. Not everyone gets a trophy in this game. It's literally life or death. It's in this game, we're playing for keeps. We're playing for people's eternity. We're playing for eternity in heaven and eternity in hell. There really is a hell. Hail. What the hell's going on? It's my southern accent. The stakes have never been higher. There is a hell. The stakes have never been higher. The world has never been darker. The world has never been more confused. The world has never been more disgusting. The world has never been more perverted. The world has never been more violent than it is right now. The stakes are at an all-time high. The good news is that our God, who is in heaven, still has the same power that he had when he spoke the world into existence. And he not only has power, but he has a plan. It's called the church. It's called the church of Jesus Christ. It's called us. That is good news. The good news is that the devil has already been defeated. The bad news is he rarely goes contested. And so we are the church, and I want you, and I want to challenge you today to get in the game. The good news is I believe that there's a church in San Diego that gets this, that is in tune with this, that believes that we do have authority, believes that the devil's been defeated, and wants to get in the game. It's called C3 San Diego. I believe that's the church. But the question is, are we going to step up? Are we going to get in the game? Are we going to get in the game, and are we going to stay in the game? So a lot of people get in the game, but then they get offended or face hard times, and they get out of the game. But are we going to get in the game and stay in the game? Are we going to join the great co-mission with Jesus Christ? It's a great co-mission. It's called the Great Commission. It is great in its size. It's to disciple all nations of the earth, starting with San Diego. Isaiah talks about this in Isaiah 60, 1-4. It says, "Arise and shine, for your light has come. Did you know that Jesus called you the light of the world? And the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people." There is a deep darkness that is upon a lot of people, and I feel like it has gotten worse. The amount of stress and depression and fear that people are facing today, I believe, is different than, say, 50 years ago. I believe there is a deep darkness that is falling on people. "But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you, and the Gentiles, the non-God people, shall come to your light." So despite the deep darkness that people are under, they do want a way out. They do have something in them that knows there's a better way. They do have something in there that wants to see the light at the end of the tunnel. They need hope, but they need somebody to awaken this hope. They need someone to speak to. They need someone to look at as an example. They need someone that is able to show them a better way. They need somebody that can tell them that God is not disappointed in them, but that God is proud of them, that he already took away their sins, that he can already do something with their life because their sins have been forgotten. He's not angry, but that he loves people. He loves you. He's desperate for you. "The Gentiles shall come to your light, and the kings to the brightness of your rising." If we want to disciple nations, we have to influence kings. That's why this game isn't just played in the church. This game is played in the marketplace. This is a game for everybody. Every sphere of culture can play in this game. I might not be able to reach a king being a pastor. Maybe I can. But you might be able to reach a king as somebody in the marketplace doing excellent work. Because the Bible says in Proverbs 22:9, it says, "Do you see a man who excels in his work? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before unknown men." So I'm not here just to challenge ministers in the church, but giants in the marketplace. I came to challenge you to get involved because your role is crucial. We need you in this game. I can't have my role unless you take your role. You can't take your role unless I take my role. We do this thing together. God is looking for kings and priests to rise and to shine and to do this thing together. And I believe we can do both. I believe we can do it. I believe we can do this. "Lift up your eyes all around and see." Lift up your eyes all around and see. Once you step into the kingdom, your life just got bigger. No longer can you just look at yourself. You got to look at other things happening. You have to look at bills trying to be passed with a negative agenda, trying to hurt people in California. You have to look up and see that the harvest is plentiful, the Bible says, but the laborers are what's few. So let's pray to the God of the harvest to bring laborers. The harvest, we got to look up. We got to look up and see what is happening in our world. We got to get away from just it being about us. It is about us, but it also is about other people. Lift up your eyes all around and see. So this mission to reach the whole world, 7 billion people with the gospel of Jesus Christ, it's an It's a massive vision. It's a big, big task. It seems impossible. It seems like it can't be done. But let me remind you who our leader is. The greatest leader in the history of the world, Jesus Christ. And he said he will build his church and the gates of hell shall not and will not prevail against it. He is leading this charge, and with him, all things are possible. Will we be the generation to rise? Will we be the generation to shine? Will we enforce the victory that has already been won? Will we answer the call, or will we wait for another? It's our choice. We can choose to get into the game or stay on the sidelines in this game. I want to answer the call. Matthew 22:14 says, "For many are called, but few are chosen." And if you kind of study that scripture, it basically means God's calling a bunch of people, but only a few people are showing up to play. You can either be the person showing up to play, or you can stand back because you've been untrained, or maybe you feel unworthy, or whatever it is. But I'm challenging you today to get in the game. I'm challenging you today to get in the game. I was watching a movie that inspired the heck out of me about a week ago. And it was about 12 guys who were called to do an impossible mission. It was after 9/11, and they came to these 12 guys, and they said, "We want to give you a mission, an impossible mission. We want you to go into Afghanistan and overthrow multiple Taliban strongholds through the hills, the valleys, the mountains, the cliffs, in a territory that you know nothing about." 12 guys, and the only way you can do it is to partner with local Afghan soldiers, the Northern Alliance, who are also fighting against the Taliban, but they also know the land and they know the territory. Problem is, they fight on horses. You're going to be facing soldiers fighting in tanks. The stakes had never been higher for the United States of America. If these 12 men weren't successful, what happened at 9/11 could potentially happen over and over and over again on U.S. soil. The stakes had never been higher. These 12 men were faced with a mission that is impossible, and I want to show you a little clip about it.
The most important thing a man can take into combat is a reason why.
Be in this fight, boys. You mark my words.
Can't you hear me knocking on your window?
19 men attacked our country. The 12 of you will be the first ones to fight back.
Can't you
it's us. We're going
hear
in.
Me knocking on your door?
You know I love you, right? I would be remiss if I did not say to you, even in success, the odds of you coming home.
They're 100%, sir. We're coming home. Why, these men follow you. You take me to the Taliban, I'll show you. Okay, we take horses.
You serious?
All right, who's ridden before, anyone?
Cancun, spring break. But I was pretty hammered.
Hey, this will be fun.
50,000 Al-Qaeda fighters, and you're just an army of 12.
We've just been handed the most important mission in the free world.
Hold on. Our boys are going to ride into battle on horseback?
Chances are we are not going to make it out of this one. If we quit now, what happened back home is going to happen again and again.
Get out.
Each of you got to make this decision.
Nothing I'd rather do.
I'm in.
Thought you'd never ask.
Hey, where the hell did those come from?
They got biggest guns first.
I am your biggest gun, Cap.
The only way home is winning.
This is from the towers. You carry that with you.
Come on. Come on, if you're in the military, why don't you stand to your feet? We want to honor you. Or if you're a veteran, can you please stand? Let's honor these soldiers, these warriors. These amazing men and women. Thank you for your service. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. The title of my message is 12 Strong. Come on, if that didn't fire you up, I don't know what will. 100% of you need to go watch that movie. How nice is it when Thor... Chris Hemsworth is Thor. My wife told me to explain that because people don't watch Avengers, but Thor... When he asked him, why do these men follow you? And he said, why don't you take him to the Taliban and I'll show you. You need to understand, he had never been in battle before. He never killed anybody before. But he had something in him that told him this was his fight to fight. And so he led these 12 men into an insurmountable obstacles in battle where the odds were ridiculous. So it was these 12 men and their great co-mission with the Northern Alliance. And all it took was 12 strong, committed men with a great leader and a cause. Because it said the most important thing a man can take into combat is a reason why. 9/11 was their reason. And what some would say was the darkest hour in American history, these guys were our greatest hope. Did you know that the church is the greatest hope of the world? The task at hand was impossible, and even if they succeeded, the likeliness of them coming back alive was slim. But I love what Thor said. He said, 100% we're coming back. 100% we're coming back. I like following leaders with faith. Side note, one of the greatest things you can do as a leader is cultivate faith and the ability to create faith for your team. Faith is so important. Then there was a moment in the movie and in this battle where the Americans came together with the Northern Alliance and the leaders clashed in their strategic plans. And the Northern Alliance said, we're not going with you guys anymore. You guys are going to do this on your own. So now the captain, Thor, had to go to his team. And he had to ask them the question. He said, I'm not going to make you go. You're going to have to volunteer for this battle. You're going to have to volunteer for this war. 50,000 Taliban soldiers and us. I'm not going to make you do it, but I'm in. And he said, are you guys in? And this was their response. And we saw it on the film. It said, nothing I'd rather do. I'm in. Thought you'd never ask. And they were off again fighting for the most important mission in the free world where the only way home was winning. It was life or death, them or us. And I feel like that's an opportunity, the opportunity against all odds, the opportunity to lay it all on the line, the opportunity to push all your chips on the table. I feel like that's an opportunity that we all would love to say yes to at some point in our life. But I feel like it's an opportunity that some of us have received and we've said no. I know for me, there are things that God has asked me to do that I haven't done yet. For whatever reason, we've said no, even though it's in us to say yes. Maybe we're scared to lose it all. Maybe we felt unworthy, untrained. Maybe we were fearful. Maybe we were embarrassed. So we missed out on living a life of faith that is both exciting but can also be terrifying. I found that following God can be terrifying, but it's also very, very exciting. That's what faith is all about. And your feelings will try to tell you contrary to what your spirit is telling you. And I found that whenever God calls, the best thing to do is just say yes. The best thing to do is just answer the call. That's what I found in my life. Isaiah 6:8 talks about, this is when Isaiah was called to be a prophet, and it says this. It says, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Then Isaiah said, here am I, send me. Here am I, send me. Isaiah, probably one of the greatest prophet, if not the greatest prophet in the Old Testament, we would have known nothing about him had he said no. But he said, here am I, send me. And because he said, here am I, send me, he became one of the greatest prophets in the Old Testament. God didn't make him do anything. He volunteered to do it. Everything that we do in the kingdom is voluntary, including giving. No one's ever going to twist your arm and tell you, you got to go serve in kids' church. You got to go give your money. You got to be on the park. No one's going to ever twist your arm and tell you to do that. No one's ever going to twist your arm and tell you that God is calling you to go start a business. No one's going to twist your arm for things in the kingdom. Everything we do in the kingdom is voluntary. I'm not sure if you're catching this, but 12 strong reminds me of the 12 disciples. Talk about a daunting task and a big ask of God. Hey, 12, I want you to reach the whole world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, follow me, and they left everything with just a hope and a dream. The hope that said, I hope this guy is who he said he was. With a dream in their heart to change the world. They left everything. 12 men with an impossible mission who said yes. Failure wasn't an option because humanity was on the line. The stakes had never been higher. They were the greatest hope. 12 men who felt they had a good enough reason. Because remember he said, all you need to go into combat, the greatest thing you can have is a reason. 12 men felt they had a good enough reason to leave everything they knew, to follow a man they hardly knew, to engage in a battle they would eventually give their lives for. These 12 men went all in. But because they made that decision, they were made disciples and they made history. When you take big steps of faith, there is big rewards on the other side. And now because of 12 strong men, there are 3 billion Christians all over the world calling Jesus Christ their Lord and Savior because of the decision of 12 strong men. They said, here am I, send me. Just like Isaiah. And you can imagine the disciples' life if they didn't say yes. Let's just talk about Peter. Peter, probably the most popular of the initial disciples, he didn't know what was going to happen if he said yes to Jesus. He didn't know the full scope and the full picture of what he was getting himself into. He didn't know Jesus would use him to launch the church. He was probably happy being a fisherman. And there's nothing wrong with being a fisherman. It becomes wrong being a fisherman if God is calling you to be fishers of men. Because the most sacred, the greatest, the most rewarding thing you can do is what God is calling you to do. He might not be calling you to be a pastor. He might be calling you to start a business. He might be calling you to be a mom. He might be calling you to do something that's not as here. But the most sacred thing you can do is do what God's called you to do. That's what's holy. That's what's holy. So if God would have told Peter to become the greatest fisherman of his day and start a company and feed all of Galilee, that's what he should have done. But that's not what he was called to do. But thank God Peter said yes. And I bet Peter was happy when he stepped out of the boat and he started walking on water. No one had ever done that before. But because he said yes, he got to step out of the boat and walk on water. And yes, he fell, but Jesus was there to pick him up. Whenever we follow God, it's not always going to be smooth sailing. You might sink a little bit, you might fall, but God's there to pick you up. It's all good. It's not all smooth, but it is exciting. I bet he was terrified. But he stepped out. Thank God Peter stayed in the upper room for the full 10 days, unlike 380 other disciples, and experienced a full infilling of the Holy Spirit. Thank God he then stepped out of the upper room and preached a message the Holy Spirit gave him utterance for because he didn't prepare for it, and 3,000 people got saved, and the church was birthed. Thank God he did that. I bet the layman at the Gate Beautiful was pretty pumped that Peter said yes. Because Peter went up to him and said, silver gold I do not have, but what I do have I give to you. And he pulled up this lame man after being lame for 40 years, and then he got his strength back. You never know what's on the other side of your yes. Somebody's waiting for you to say yes. And we never know what's on the other side of that, our obedience or our disobedience. Do you think that lame man would have got healed had Peter not stepped up? I don't know. Maybe he'd been lame for another 5 years, or maybe he'd been lame forever. I bet all those that were healed by Peter's shadow were pretty happy Peter said yes. He was walking down the street in his shadow where he was healing people. I'm pretty sure they were glad he didn't say, not yet, God, I'm not ready. I'm not your man. Look for another. No, not yet. Wait till I get all my stuff together. I'm glad Peter didn't say that. I wonder who's waiting on the other side of our yes. And not all of us will be called to fight for the USA against the Taliban. Not all of us are going to be asked to become a prophet to the nations like Isaiah. But we can all start somewhere. And if we can start somewhere, God can take you anywhere. He can take you anywhere, but you got to get started. You got to get involved. You got to get in the game and stop watching from the sidelines. I know when I came to C3, my wife and I came here 12 years ago. I had never been a part of a volunteer team in a church. I've been a Christian since I was six. And I came to this church and found that they needed help on the parking team. And so I started to be on the parking team. And I was waving that wand like a madman. And pioneering the parking team. We had walkie-talkies. We had code names. We'd make fun of each other if someone drove past them when they told them to park there and they parked there. It was fun. It was awesome. I got to meet everybody that came to church. That's how I got to meet everybody, because all in the parking team saying hi to everybody. And I can't tell you how many people are in this church today because Nick Copenbarger said hi to somebody. Because he smiled at somebody and they said, man, I had a great experience at this church. And there's so many others that I could say the same thing about. But I was on the parking team, and then I started doing okay, and then they said, well, why don't you lead the parking team? I'm like, okay, I'll lead the parking team. It was a little bit terrifying. I've never been on a volunteer team before. And they said, well, you know, you guys are doing pretty good. Becky was, doing the bathrooms at the old school, and I remember going to Walmart with her and buying all the materials to decorate the bathrooms of a junior high. And then they said, why don't you start a connect group? And we're like, oh, wow, we're going to have to be responsible for some people, kind of. That was a little bit terrifying. All of a sudden, you're on the spotlight a little bit. But we did that. And then, I kid you not, following God, it can be terrifying in a lot of different ways. Pastor Juergen used to call people up in the middle of worship to pray like we do every week. But he wouldn't tell you if he's calling you up. And so it was terrifying. There were a lot of us on the front row going, oh, God. Actually, it didn't matter if you were on the front row or in the back or whatever. He would just call you up. And so, no lie, about the end of the third song, I went to the bathroom. Because I knew we were about to pray, and I was terrified for him to call me up. No lie. It was terrifying. Most of the time I said yes, but there were times when I went to the bathroom. When I preached for the very first time, Pastor Juergen wasn't even in the country. He didn't tell me what to preach about. There was a theme, but he didn't go over my message. He didn't talk to me about what I was going to preach. He just trusted me at a 10 a.m. service with a bunch of people. I preached on spiritual steroids. You can look it up. It was pretty fly, actually. Prayer and fasting. If you fast without praying, it's a diet. But if you add fasting to your prayer, it's like spiritual steroids. That's the whole message. But now it's funny, because I talk to people and they say, man, you've gotten so much better. And I'm kind of thankful, but I'm kind of like, is that a compliment or is that like a little dig? You were so bad. Now you're okay. But that was like, that's like our journey. That was it. We just started to say yes. It was scary. It was intimidating, but we just started to say yes. Some of you might think that you're not worthy to serve or do what God's calling you to do, whatever that might be, but just say yes, because you are a winner. You came into this life a winner. Your sperm won the race. And the Bible says, if you've invited Jesus into your life, that which is born of God will overcome the world. So you are a winner. You're more than a conqueror. That's who you are. That's who God has set you up to be. And we want you part of this mission to disciple nations, starting right here in San Diego, 16 campuses and beyond. Everybody has a role. We can all do something. 1 Corinthians 12:12 says, for as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. Verse 14 says, for in fact the body is not one member, but many. It's talking about the church. Verse 18 says, but now God has set the members, each one of them in the body, just as he pleased. And if they were all one another, then where would the body be? And so it starts talking about how if my ear was where my nose is and I'm hearing from my nose, that would be weird. It wouldn't work. If my hands were on my feet, I couldn't walk weird. It'd be strange. But you could give a high five like that. But it started talking about all the different body parts. If they were in different parts, it just quite wouldn't work. But how God has designed it, everybody in the body to be in a specific place, playing a specific role. We all have something to add. God told Jeremiah, before I even formed you, I knew you. We know this verse. He knew us before he even formed us. He already had a plan. He already knew what our assignment would be. The Bible says he sanctified you before the beginning of time. He separated you towards him. And he gave you an assignment. He gave you a mission. He gave you gifts and talents, all to be used in the body of Christ, which isn't confined to these four walls, but it's the body of Christ. It's all of us doing whatever it is that God has called us to do. About 20 years ago, I was going through this this daily devotion, and it was called Experiencing God, and I only remember one thing from it. I remember that he said, find something that God is doing and get involved. Don't try to conjure up your own thing, your own mission or your own vision. What is God doing? Get involved in that, because that's what's going to work, and that's what the devil can't stop. That's what no man can stop. If God's involved, no man can stop. I think what we're doing at C3 San Diego, I think God's in this. I think there's enough fruit to tell you and to show you that God is doing something at C3 San Diego. I think it's great ground to be planted in. I think it's a good place to be. I believe that with all my heart. So we want you to get involved in what God is doing. Acts 5, 33 to 39 talks about a group of people going all in for God and how nothing can stop it if it's from him. The disciples are out preaching the word of God, and all the religious are getting upset because it's causing an uproar. And it comes to this scripture, and it says, when they heard this, they were furious when they heard them still preaching, because they said, we don't listen to man, we listen to God. So they kept preaching the word of God, and it says, and they plotted to kill them, the disciples. Then one of the council stood up, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, and a teacher of the law, held in respect by all the people, and commanded them to be put the apostles outside for a little while. And he said to them, men of Israel, take heed to yourselves that you intend to do what you intend to do regarding these men. For some time ago, Theudas rose up claiming to be somebody. A number of men, about 400, joined him. He was slain, and all who obeyed him were scattered and came running to nothing. After this man, Judas of Galilee rose up in the days of the census and drew away many people after him. He also perished, and all who obeyed him were dispersed. And now I say to you, keep away from these men and let them alone. For if this plan or this work is of men, it will come to nothing. But if it is of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest you even be found to fight against God. Nothing can stop what God is doing in the earth. Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell won't prevail against it. In Acts 12, Herod, the Bible says Herod stretched out his hand to harass the church, even killed James. But in that same chapter of scripture, the Bible says that God sent an angel of the Lord down to strike Herod. How dare he defy what God is doing? He struck him dead, and then the Bible says worms ate him. Don't mess with God. Goliath tried to mess with God. Goliath tried to mess with the people of Israel. He said, and then David stepped up to him. David stepped up and he said, don't mess with my God. He said, you come at me with sword, spear, and javelin, but I come at you in the name of the Lord of hosts. How dare you defy the God of the armies of Israel? I will take the carcasses of the Philistines and feed them to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. And David goes out and he cuts off Goliath's head. Don't defy my God. But if God is in it, nobody can stop it. My question to us this afternoon is, have we considered the reason? Because it's life or death. It's forever. It's forever. I don't know about you, but I want to answer the call. I believe the reason is good enough. I believe the reason is worth it. I believe Jesus is worth it. We can all do something. We can all do something. Did you know Jesus thought you were worth it? He thought your life was worth it. So much so that he gave his life. The Bible says God gave his only son because your life was worth it. Are we going to be the generation? Are we going to be the church? Are we going to do the ridiculous to see the miraculous? are we going to step out where it seems scary? That's the fun part. Whatever it is that God's calling you to do, that's what you need to be doing. That's what you need to be doing. Would you close your eyes and bow your head?
Thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church, go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.